Welcome to the inaugural episode of In Conversation with Black Box Projects, with me, Kathleen Fox-Davis. Here, we will discuss all things photography and art, artistic processes, art world and art world related topics with our favorite artists, colleagues, curators, and art world friends that inspire us. This is a place to discuss big topics, highlight issues that matter to us, and create conversations within our community. For our very first episode of In Conversation, I am delighted to welcome Black Box Projects artist, professor, and master printer Steve McLeod, and the co-founders of Hospital Rooms, Neve White and Tim Shaw. For our listeners not familiar, Hospital Rooms is a fantastic charity that commissions world-class art and implements art programs for the NHS Mental Health Services. A very warm welcome to Steve, Tim, and Neve. Thank you for sharing your afternoon with us as we discuss the role of art in mental health and the art of happiness. Here at Black Box Projects, we truly believe art can be inspiring. It can relay emotion, evoke a memory, and can bring joy to our lives. More than this, though, there has been increasing awareness over the past decade in the transformative role art can have on a clinical level when applied to concepts of our health and medical treatment. There is now hard data supporting the importance of the arts in healthcare. Did you know art can reduce patients' anxiety and stress? It can accelerate recovery, shorten hospitalizations, reduce medication use, lessen pain, and promote a sense of well-being. Wow, what a medicine. A 2011 University of London study found that the blood flow increased 10% to the joy response part of the brain when the subjects saw a beautiful painting, just like when you look at a loved one. There is an estimated 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 10 children experiencing mental health illnesses each year in the UK. It's safe to say that all of us have been touched or affected with mental health issues within our lifetime. This afternoon, we are going to delve into topics of destigmatizing mental health, discussing the possibilities of arts within mental health care facilities, and even medical treatment. And we will explore how artists have applied their own practices to treatment centers and have harnessed their own mental health as inspiration for creative drive. In these strange and uncertain times of global lockdown, financial uncertainty, strain on our healthcare services, and just general stress and worry, surely there is no better time to discuss the role of art in mental health and medical services. So, shall we get right in? Steve, would you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hi, Kathleen. My name is Steve McLeod. I'm a represented artist with Black Box Projects, something I'm very proud of. I'm also a contributing artist for Hospital Rooms Charity, again, something I believe very strongly about with the work that Tim and Neve do. And I'm a university professor, bit of a polymath, I guess, as I also director of a production company in London.
Great, Steve. Welcome. Tim and Neve, could you take a moment to introduce yourselves and the concept of the Hospital Rooms charity?
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm an artist and I co-founded Hospital Rooms with Neve. Neve's a curator. And we started Hospital Rooms just under 4 years ago. And it was after a good friend of ours was sectioned and spent some time in an inpatient mental health unit. And it was the first time we'd been to that kind of unit. And we were pretty shocked by the state of the space and how patronizing and cold and clinical it was. And we had about 20 years experience in the art world between us at that point, and we thought, let's use some of those contacts and some of that experience to improve these spaces and see what art can do. Our first ever project was at the Phoenix unit, which is in Southwest London, and we worked with Steve, who was one of the first artists we worked with, to completely transform this one inpatient space that cared for people with a diagnosis of schizophrenia. And after that, we continued our work. We thought, actually, we want this to be a charity. We want this to be something that, you know, is a big part of our lives. And since then, we've worked on 14 projects in psychiatric intensive care, medium secure units, units for adolescents and older people. And we've worked on two projects with Steve so far, and we're going to be working with him again later on this year in a psychiatric intensive care unit for men in London.
Wow, that's amazing that Hospital Rooms really comes from a place of personal experience and something that does mean so much to you both. And you can really see that in the projects that you have completed. Thank you. And Neve, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Kathleen. Absolutely. My name's Neve. I'm the other co-founder of Hospital Rooms, and I'm a curator. I studied history of art and worked in galleries and museums for a long time before we started Hospital Rooms, but it has become a labour of love, and we absolutely love leading these projects in mental health units and seeing the impact that it can make.
Well, welcome. Steve, you are an advocate for the concept of art and mental health, and you are also very open about the role that arts has played in your own mental health journey. Can you tell us a little bit about how your own artistic practice has inspired you?
Sure. Yeah, it's something I'm very open about. I haven't always been. I have a high-functioning bipolar condition, which on a good day is a very good thing. On a bad day, it's quite an awful thing, mostly for other people. But I spent many, many years, I think, in the wilderness in regard to my own mental health. I felt often lost, unable to communicate how I was feeling, and in many respects, kind of ashamed about, you know, who I was and what I had. So I found it very, very difficult. But I think after having several very serious episodes that took me to the brink, let's say, I decided to sort of bring about a change, not only internally and within myself in terms of my health and well-being, but also to become an advocate for good, for the idea of sharing, talking, listening, and to really engage with an audience that I was very familiar with, and that is obviously the sort of creative industries. Through my own art as a photographer, I sort of found solace, I found light within my art, and I wanted to share that with others. So for some time now, I've been very open, not only about my own mental health, but also be very open about having others really talk about how they feel and how art can transform their lives. And that's part of the reason that I work so closely with Hospital Rooms, because I see what it had done for me, and I hope, you know, and know that it does for others.
It is really powerful that your approach to your image making is inspired from this route. I mean, you can really see it in the motion and the raw power that the work conveys. You can see that your work comes from a place of deep thought and thoughtfulness.
I think so. I think it does. But I would say that, you know, my mental health, really, I don't just say this lightly, it doesn't define me. I think I've accepted it as a part of me. And I have different interests within the realms of my photography, but certainly at the deep-rooted level, and it's, you know, it can't help to be, is very much my emotional state.
Oh, that's fantastic. Should we speak to Tim and Neve about how you, Steve, actually found Tim and Neve in Hospital Rooms to collaborate for the first time?
Well, I think we were introduced by a friend of ours called Rebecca Byrne, who'd worked with Steve before, and we met him actually through Metro because we needed to get some printing done. And it was this very early stage before we'd even started our first project, and we just wanted to learn about how we could make artwork kind of safe and compliant and scrubbable and all these things without, you know, dumbing it down and making it look like a normal NHS picture that you'd see in the cafe. And we were speaking to Steve, and actually we got introduced to his work, and I think we went away from the conversation and after seeing his work, and we thought, actually, he's, you know, he's a quite an incredible photographer himself. And he told us about his own journey with mental health, but actually I think we really were first and foremost interested in his approach to making photography and how that could work within the project at Phoenix Unit, because it's quite a challenging space to work in. And we thought, as well as having this amazing kind of visual knowledge to draw upon, he also had this kind of creativity with material that he'd be able to do something, you know, really quite innovative in a space that doesn't usually allow or invite that kind of innovation. And because of that first project, his work was the most popular out of all the 11 pieces that we had. It meant something to the people there and it challenged them. And then we've continued to work with Steve, and he's become such an advocate of hospital rooms that he's kind of, you know, he's part of the team.
Yeah, and I think we've really been on a journey with Steve because, you know, it's easy to forget that it has been a four-year collaboration, basically. And during that time, we've learned so much about the realm of arts and health and all of those things, and also experienced when that can become instrumentalized, or when art can be reduced to kind of these scientific numbers. And unfortunately, sometimes with lots of impact reporting and scientific analysis, we sometimes miss the point. And I think the way that Steve articulates the interplay between his mental health and his artistic practice is one of the most sophisticated and elegant that we have ever encountered, and has totally informed the way that we work, especially the collaborations between really high profile artists and UNIC communities, and also the way that we create artwork that, like Tim says, is not to please everybody. It is challenging, it's difficult at times, it addresses the struggle and the distress sometimes in the experiences in mental health units. And I think that has been a kind of revelatory journey that we've really enjoyed.
And I guess, Steve, well, Hospital Rooms is an arts charity, but it's also a people charity, and it's about bringing people together who might not necessarily get to meet each other. And Steve is someone who's spent a long time connecting people and connecting with people. And that's something that he does so well in the units. The workshops that he led a cyanotype workshop in a men's rehabilitation unit in West London. And rarely have we managed to get every single resident and pretty much every single member of staff involved in a workshop. And it's because there's kind of a natural sort of enthusiasm and, you know, almost a kind of like a childish love of the medium. You know, that photography can be so kind of, I don't know, it's almost sort of intuitive, and it almost, I don't know, there's a bit of magic there to making a cyanotype. And Steve, without sort of making a big summer dance about it, got this whole group of people involved and excited about something so simple as making a blueprint of a flower or your hand. And that's something that we've learned from as well.
You know, it's very kind of you to say so. I think, and I've spoken to Kathleen about this before as well, about the idea of process. You know, I'm not really that interested in, to be honest, photography, which may sound a bit unusual, but I am very interested in process and the idea of making. And I think on a journey of process, sometimes there's an end and sometimes there isn't. And I think it's quite fitting for particularly, you know, some of the units that we've visited, where it's about engagement and just participation and time, giving time for each other with, and just being open, you know, in that regard. So it is about this sort of idea of process and exploration and taking people on that journey.
Oh, that's fantastic. I really like what you said, Tim, that Hospital Rooms is an arts charity, but it's also a people charity. And the idea that the art can be the vehicle that does bring people that wouldn't normally have a common interest or a common life experience even to a place of understanding and being able to have an experience together, like Steve's cyanotype workshop in the men's facility in West London. I think that those are invaluable experiences that you all are allowing a population that wouldn't normally have that sort of creative exposure and outlet, which is great. Tim and Neef, you both touched on how you met Steve, which brings me to my next question. How do you, as Hospital Rooms, bring art to the care facilities? How do you seek out the artists that you do collaborate and work with? And how do you transform art that would never be appropriate to be in a secure facility to make it function in a space that is safe and usable for everyone?
So we always start with the people, basically, in the unit. We visit each hospital multiple times before we really do anything, so that we can gain an understanding of what service is being provided there, whether it's men, women, where people are from, what kind of age groups we're looking at, what interests people have, any challenges that might be faced. Also, just kind of getting a feel for a space. And once we have that, we think very carefully about the artists that we invite to collaborate with us. We think about, have they shared any experiences with the community that they'd be working with? We think about the work that they produced. Are they interesting to those people? And we also think about the spaces themselves, you know, what's available and what could be possible. And we're quite tailored in that way. We really think about who we invite. And of course, we demand the highest possible quality. So we're looking at artists who not only have strength of concept and communication, but also understand their materials inside out and have a participatory element to their practice, so that they are able to interact with that community in a meaningful way. Once we've selected the artists and they've agreed to take part, we run various creative workshops inside the units. So this is an opportunity for the artists to share their practice, to tell people about what they're interested in, and crucially, to ask as many questions as they can to get to know people, to start to understand how people encounter space and what is and isn't working. We obviously working in a fairly charged environment where there can be sometimes disinhibited behaviours or possibility for aggression or all different things. So the last thing we want to be is antagonistic to any of those kind of presentations. So this is a chance for the artists to really collaborate and ask people about their experiences. And there's multiple opportunities for the artists to do that, both at workshops and different gatherings and community meetings. Once they have all that information, they go away and process it, and they come up with their idea of what they would like to do within a communal space in that unit. And we help them a lot on the kind of material constraints, all of those things that mean we have to have infection control. So things have to be wiped clean, or things have to be really safe, and we can't really use framing or screws or anything that could be a danger to anybody. So we address all of those issues, and it's a real kind of creative problem solving exercise, but a very fun one. And then, of course, we install the artworks. And artists spend a few days or a few weeks on a ward, depending on what their practice is anyway. And then they complete the artwork that they've made. We also find it really important to share the work as broadly as possible. So we have exhibitions in public galleries close by to the units, and we invite the service users and staff and the general public to join us in sharing imagery of work produced in our workshops, and the stories that have come out of each project. So it's, they're long-term projects. They take time, and there really is no shortcut for any aspect of the project. But that time and that kind of accumulated trust and that collaboration is, you know, the heart of the project, really.
I mean, we're an arts and mental health charity, but we see ourselves primarily as an arts charity, and we have and we're making work in mental health spaces. But Neve and I and the team are basically organisers, and we our job is just to make sure that the artists have the freedom to make the best quality work they can. And the thing that we are the main thing that we ask is that they make something that they'd be proud of anywhere else, whether it was in a museum or a gallery or a collector's house, and it shouldn't be any less quality. And that's how we value the people who benefit from the artwork, is by doing a good job. And, you know, in some ways art is for everyone, but in another way, not everyone is that interested in art. So it's the work has to exist and has to be useful to people who are really passionate about it, but also to people who are just going to encounter it, that it is background. And that's part of the challenge, is to think that you're not You're not making work for an audience who's all going to come and pat you on the back at the private view. You're making work for a group of people who almost don't have a choice but to live with what you've made for them. And that takes, it's quite a responsibility for the artists.
Well, it's a completely different way of approaching a practice, isn't it? When you take the concept of the commercial out of it, which I think is a really interesting challenge for the artists. Steve, you've created two site-specific installations for hospital rooms. Can you tell us about the process of translating your photographic practice to function within the space of the treatment centers? And how did you, in your experience, go about deciding what and how to create within that space?
I think, firstly, going into these kind of spaces sort of takes me back to my own experiences of them. So I have a sort of, I think, from a off-the-ground experience of being and existing in insecure units through my own episodes. So I very much understand, or like to think I understand, you know, what it feels like to be in a situation like that. So I come at it from two perspectives, really. One is somebody who has had these experiences, but also somebody who, as an artist, it's like you say, it takes away the commercial element of what you do. It sort of makes you think differently. I've said this to Tim and Niamh before. It's one of the things that I admire them for, because they challenge artists to think potentially differently than they might normally do. They push you to create work that uses different materiality or, you know, function, form. So all of those things that you build in your journey in art and creativity, particularly in the public domain for exhibitions or publication, whichever means it might be, it kind of flips it on its head in a way. And for me, that is, again, plays back on my ideas of love of process and the challenges of making and engagement. So it makes me think differently. It makes me perform differently. And it's an enlightening feeling for me. It gives me freedom to really push the boundaries of my own practice. It makes me assess and analyze what I do and why I do it. And so it's a continual collaborative relationship that we have where, you know, I get excited about new projects. I'm also slightly nervous as well. But on the whole, I can sort of comprehensively say that as an artist, to be given that opportunity to be taken out of my comfort zone and to be pushed in a way that I wouldn't ordinarily get is a blessing, and it's something that I feel eager to do at every opportunity. So it seeps into and becomes part of my practice idea of pushing and pushing and pushing.
And do you think that your experience with hospital rooms has actually changed how you approach your own work, looking at it again from what you're creating for collectors?
I would probably say that it's a bit of both, really. I think they co-join, don't they? You know, there's no differentiation for me between the work that I might do in hospital rooms. The approach is different, but it's still my work, and I'm still, you know, in relationship with the, you know, the service users and the service providers and with hospital rooms as well. Whereas in the same way, when I'm working with black box projects, I do consider my work in the way of, like, you know, is this befitting? And we have that dialogue and we have that conversation about, you know, where the journey that my work is taking. So they're kind of joined. I don't come at it from different approaches. I think the deeper thing is that it actually makes me think differently about my mental health. And it makes me think differently about general mental health and well-being and awareness. And it's a catalyst. The whole experience is a catalyst for change. And I no longer feel I'm in a bubble. I no longer feel that I'm inwardly sort of not screaming inside, but I don't feel like it's just internalizing everything. I feel that I now have a stronger voice, or I feel more comfortable with myself and less, you know, scared often. And I think so I feel that I benefit mentally, you know, from my mental health as much as anybody from working with hospital rooms.
That's very nice to hear.
That's wonderful. In a recent series that you have created and that we've shown in the context of the gallery with Black Box Projects, I'm thinking of Hala specifically, where you have been exploring the idea of color theory and its relation to color therapy and having that translate into the pictorial aspect of your work. Has that... Sorry, I'm not being very clear here.
No, it's fine.
Can you talk us a little bit about the idea of color theory and how it's inspired your work, but also looking at what you've created with Hospital Rooms, have you taken that same idea of color theory and applied it to what is actually happening in those treatment facilities? Has that ever been an aspect of your thinking when you're taking it out of the concept of a gallery exhibition and putting it into a functioning space?
I think so. I think with Hala, it was a project I created in the Middle East, and it was the first time I'd really, it became very performative. And I would like to say that part of that performative interest was born out of being inspired by other hospital room artists and what they were doing in terms of installation and, you know, and working with some of the other artists that were part of other projects about the use of space and this idea of color and what it does. So they all come together. But the Hala project, I was undergoing some color therapy at the time, and I wanted to introduce the elements of that into the work. And I embarked on the project as a way of enlightenment and sort of release and a kind of and a nothingness within my work, rather than having a very sort of pointed objective within the body of work. There was a freedom and a freedom born out of being comfortable with my own practice and being comfortable with how I felt and just letting go, really. This is my kind of, I've never done anything like it before, and a part of that is almost like it feels like things come together for a reason. And part of that was sort of seeing, you know, other artists at work in hospital rooms and how they use performance and how they use installation and the use of space, and Tim and Neve pushing me to think differently about space and about my relationship to the subject that I'm working on. So they all feed each other, and it was one of my it's this feeling of almost adrenaline rushing, uplifting experience that I had with Hala. And it's something, in a way, quite addictive, and something I would love to go back and maybe not do again, but, you know, maybe move on in another way with a different body of work. So, you know, yes, color theory through my own mental health experience of what I was doing through therapy was pushed right into the forefront of the work that I was creating at the time. And that was something that was very much born out of my relationship with Black Box Projects, but also, I think, very much about what was happening with working with the peers around me. Because after all, I was working with artists that were not photography-based. They were from different sort of media, different creative disciplines, and that made me think differently about, you know, photography. And as I say, I don't see myself as a photographer. I use photography as a vehicle for exploring emotion, expression, metaphor for many, many, many things, rather than as a documentation of an object or a subject.
Thank you. I want to pivot for just a minute. Tim and Neve, you have both touched on how you involve patients and staff in the hospital rooms projects. But could you talk a little bit more about what the patient response has been to having the hospital rooms treatment, if you will, of the arts programming and the final product? I believe that you have actually involved inpatients in creating the final projects in some cases, so that they've actually had a hand in the creation of what's happening in their space. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. So with every single artist that works with us, they have to work and collaborate with patients. And that's a really key aspect to it. And there's a whole spectrum of how that kind of materializes in the final work. Some artists have a participatory aspect to their practice that's really embedded, like Harold Offay, whose work... he's created two artworks for us, and both of them were basically co-created with patients. during workshops. And one of those was making kind of oil and rainwater rainbows on paving slabs and photographing them and putting them into a television room. And the other one was finding wax rubbings in the architecture around a unit and then using the patterns that patients had made to create a huge wall painting. Other artists will work more discreetly. They will have as much interaction with patients, but their work will be more made off-site or in tune with what they do day to day. But how they've come to that final design has been totally informed by the conversations that they've had with that community. And that's really, really important to us.
And the responses have been varied and complex. And the units are mostly not that attractive anyway. So the artwork almost always improves the atmosphere. So, and it's not so much about whether people like it or don't like it. Generally, the atmosphere is greatly improved.
But just to have colour in the space.
Just to have colour and get away from the beige and the browns and the whites. But at the same time, there's a lot more value than just the improvement in atmosphere. You know, there is improvement. There's feelings of self-worth when someone comes in to a place like that and sort of says, I want to do this for you. I want to spend time with you understanding how we can make this place better. And then there's also the intellectual stimulation from being able to talk about an artwork. And in a way, there's kind of a breaking down of hierarchies when it comes to talking about artwork in this kind of space. You know, the psychiatrist's take on an artwork is no more valid or intelligent or articulate than the patient's. And that doesn't happen that often. And I think that's something that has quite a lot of value in itself.
That there's a real democracy and leveling of the individuals in the space, that everyone comes at it as equals.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, when we started Hospital Rooms, we really didn't appreciate the level that the mental health system really can dismantle anyone's sense of self and self-worth. And feedback that we get from so many patients is about meaningful collaboration with professional artists who listen to them, who really take heed of what they're saying and their opinions, and they contribute to kind of radically transforming an institution and taking a hand in actually changing that seems to have a really empowering and positive effect.
And the staff in these units work bloody hard, and they have a hard job, and they care for people who are often very unwell, and they don't have time to necessarily talk about, you know, what do you think of this picture? And we're in quite a privileged position where we can come in and we can do this frivolous thing, which is spend a lot of time trying to rethink how a space could be, and to also look at the work that they make. And there's a lot of very creative, often actually incredibly talented people behind those locked doors. And we see that more and more. And we've started seeing some quite exceptional artists in these inpatient units. And obviously there's lots of people who aren't into making, but there's a lot of people who are, and it gets overlooked because there's not the time or the capacity to, you know, nurture or see or encourage some of the creativity that's going on in there.
With that in mind, how do you actually go about choosing the centres and the hospitals that get the hospital rooms treatment?
So that's changed over time. When we first started and we first had the idea, we went to so many different mental health hospitals pitching to them that, you know, we could change these spaces, we could bring artists in and we could do this and that and we can do it safely. And we were basically told, go away, no way, this is impossible.
That's incredible, really.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very kind of you know, we were told, you know, without the evidence base, you will never be allowed to come in here. You know, we had a lot of doors closed, and it took us about 18 months for the first person to give us an opportunity. And she is a medical director, and she's actually one of our trustees now, Dr. Emma Witcher. And she connected us with the unit that Steve worked with us on, and basically took a big risk and took a chance. It did take a while for more units to dip their toe in, and we gradually worked in another unit for young people and then another unit for older people. And at that time, it was still only Tim and I, so the projects take time anyway. And then we started to get some press and some attention for what we were doing. And since then, we've been approached by so many different mental health units across the country that we literally can't keep up. So now we have an application system, and we ask units who want to collaborate with us to tell us about their service and why they think it would be beneficial for them to work with us, and various other things. And then we select 6 or 7 per year. This year, things are slightly different, obviously, with the current situation.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Let's look at last year specifically. How does Hospital Rooms obtain funding to launch 7 ambitious programs in 7 different locations? Because we're not talking just London here, are we?
No. So we've worked across the south of England now, from kind of Norwich down to Exeter and Plymouth. We fund our projects through a variety of different streams, and fundraising is one of the most challenging parts of what we do. At the same time, we strongly believe in paying our artists and resourcing them to a point where they can produce and fabricate something really exceptional. So it's, you know, unavoidable. We are really grateful to the Arts Council. They have funded a number of our projects, but of course they will fund to a certain point, and you have to have match funding as well. So we're also grateful to some corporate partners like Sea Salt Cornwall. We have funding from the Garfield Weston Foundation and other foundations as well. And of course, we also have a network of amazing supporters of the charity who either give monthly or they buy things that we put up for sale or various other things. So between all of those things, we ensure that we can produce projects of a really, really high quality. But it is a challenge.
How is that challenge played out this year with COVID, and are you able to keep working and create art in new spaces at the moment?
We've had to be quite creative, and as soon as COVID kicked in, we immediately started working really hard to make sure that we could still deliver projects when we're able to get back into the units, but also that we can make it to the point where we can actually start work again, so we don't sort of cease to exist as an organisation before then. But then at the same time, we didn't want to just stop work and go, okay, we need 3 months to fundraise and then we'll get back to it. So we've had some different ideas of getting into units digitally. And one thing we've got coming up is a digital art school, which will be a number of artists will deliver workshops and tutorials to loads and loads of inpatient units across the country who could all sign in. We'll make it all safe. And it means that not only will they get to engage in these creative activities within the wards, but they'll also be able to interact with the artists. So there'll be a kind of dialogue happening there as well. And that's really exciting, because we're always told we would never be able to do that. And then 1 week into lockdown, suddenly everything changed, and the wards have found innovative ways of being able to have people talk to each other from outside of these units, because they're very restrictive settings anyway, some of them more than others. But a lot of those people won't see a family member or anyone for months and months on end now because of COVID. And some of these units are going to be completely locked down for a while. So if we're able to find a way in digitally, then that's a really big deal. And it might be something that we can continue to do as well as having our physical presence in the future. And we've got no, you know, we absolutely know that having people in the room is the best thing. You know, digital can't be as good as being able to shake someone's hand and speak to someone face to face and read each other. But it's going to have to be a pretty good substitute for the next few months. And that's what fundraising towards now.
It's incredible that you've been able to pivot so quickly and set up this digital programming. Steve, I know that you had a project with hospital rooms that was meant to be commencing either now or in the autumn. You'll have to correct me. Are you still making plans or with this, or has the current lockdown situation actually changed your entire thinking about how you're going to approach the project?
I was actually delighted. They'd offered me sort of two projects, one of them at Whips Cross Hospital in East London, and another sort of Romford Ilford way. And I'd already, as soon as they sort of mentioned it, I sort of set off on a trajectory of wondering what the space would be like and what would I do. And I had some ideas about, you know, going one step beyond photography and trying to sort of utilize, based on what I'd been told about the units and in terms of what can and cannot be done and what can and cannot be sort of created in the space. So I'd already had ideas about what I wanted to do without actually having seen the space. When I sort of go to these units, I tend to respond, A, to the location, the environment, the light, but I also respond to the people that are there, both, you know, service users and service providers. And I think that sort of bounces ideas off. And Tim's dead right. I think there's no substitute for that physical handshake and eye contact. And I think particularly with patients, it's very much about the individual and giving them time as a person, as opposed to a patient. So it sort of stopped me in my tracks in a way, because, you know, I do utilize the space, or you know, turn my craft to relate to the space and the people that inhabit it. But it still hasn't stopped me thinking about it. And I'm very much, I look forward to the digital workshops and those kind of things. There's something very, I think you can make still a little bit tangible, even though it's sort of, you know, you're sort of physically removed from each other.
Well, we can't wait to see what you come up with and pictures of the completed project, for sure. I want to talk about art and mental health on a grander scale, of the idea of taking this concept of art being transformative and what it can do to elevate the spirit and feelings of value and self-worth, and apply it to the greater population, particularly now with the lockdown and with already at-risk populations being even more isolated and alone. I think that we're going to see a real increase in the demands of our mental health services in the coming year. Now, next year, we don't know what the effect will be. I know that my children were playing Paw Patrol this afternoon, and two of the Paw Patrol pups had COVID, and that was their imaginary play. So we don't actually know what the effects this is going to be on our children as they're manically washing their hands and counting to 20, and long-term effects. Knowing that mental health is increasingly a concern among the youngest of our population, with a majority of diagnoses being made before an individual is even 24 years old, and also with the realization that arts programs are being removed from the public school curriculum and not being supported, can we talk about the role of art in greater society as well as within the context of the healthcare system? Is it crazy to argue that supporting public art and art in corporate environments, if we're ever allowed to go back to those, and art education programs in schools and community centers could create a healthier society overall? I mean, what are your thoughts on this from your experiences?
There's definitely an appetite for art now more than ever. And I think when we come out of this, we're going to need museums and we're going to need galleries, because they're one of the first places millions of people are going to want to go back to and, you know, feel some kind of normality, but also, you know, get that kind of stimulation. Because I think that you're absolutely right that there's a very small understanding now of people who've never had that many restrictions, that many of your kind of liberties and things that make you who you are taken away from you as we have now, you know, this
on a global scale, no less.
So people kind of, everyone kind of has a small inkling of what it feels like to not be told you're not allowed to go somewhere or do something. And I think there's an understanding of that. And just because you're not in an inpatient unit doesn't mean that it's not, can't be very difficult and can't have a huge effect on you. And for us, I think that's why we're really keen to make sure that these activities are available to everyone. And it is a small thing, and it's one of many things that can make you a bit happier or feel a bit more connected.
So how would we access this online workshops and the art school in order to be more connected? How would we find that?
So the art school launches on the 25th of June, and from earlier on in June, you'll be able to sign up via Eventbrite for either all eight sessions, the first eight sessions, or individual sessions. And you'll be able to join us via a Zoom link where the artist will deliver workshops live. And there'll also be lots of supporting resources, recorded videos for people who can't access the live sessions, PDFs that can be downloaded. And for people in the units, we're also offering one-on-one tutorials with the artists to really kind of offer that creative skills development as well. So this is like our pilot, but we really hope it's something that can grow and expand and become a really strong aspect of what Hospital Rooms delivers for people.
Inside and outside of lockdown, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really exciting possibility that this could be something that was weekly for every mental health unit across the country. And going back to what you were saying earlier, I totally agree that the devaluing of arts and creativity in our education system is devastating and counterintuitive in a world where that's going to be one of the major demands as a skill set. It really doesn't make sense to me at all, even from a kind of mental health point of view, but also from a very practical point of view. And if we are about to face a recession, creativity and entrepreneurialism and all of those things are going to be the things that we desperately need. So we can't advocate enough for that.
And Steve, you are an educator, a professor, and an advocate for, I mean, sharing your knowledge in general, whether it's in a formal setting or not.
And I think I came into an industry that wasn't very open, wasn't very sort of appreciative of others, and it's very kind of territorial sort of scenario that you encountered as a young artist in sort of commercial photography and that, you know, journalism and that kind of thing. So I sort of, my feeling is very much is that knowledge is not exclusive, and nor should it be. So I very always openly share. I've been holding every Friday an Instagram Live tutorial talk with Kate O'Neill, and they're very, you know, well attended, and they're very open.
They're brilliant.
But during lockdown, I set up an online folio therapy session. So I was doing them twice a week for about 20, 30 people a week during lockdown. There's free folio sessions. And I had artists from Argentina, Belarus, Australia, everywhere. And I think it sort of highlighted to me how digital I've been, very in terms of using digital, I've been very sort of polarized and blinkered as to its potential. So I see a huge area to tap into in that regard with connecting to people. So, you know, from a physical education thing, I'm a visiting professor at University of Suffolk, but I also do a lot of work with my old university, Gray School of Art in Aberdeen. I've just been made their external examiner for the university. So education is a very important part of what I do. But again, it comes down to this idea of process and engagement and meeting people and listening to their stories and understanding what they do and sharing a common thread and a common passion for things. So yeah, I see huge potential for what we can do on and offline. It does concern me hugely about the mental health and well-being globally, whether it's from, you know, from very, very young years to sort of pension and beyond. I think it's affected us in ways that, you know, are yet to be seen. And I think that we need, there's a duty of care, or sort of, you know, to be able to do what we can.
Can you tell us, how do we access? You said that you do the
Instagram Live.
Was it Instagram Live?
Yeah.
With Kate O'Neill. How would we access that if we wanted to check it out?
I post on my Instagram feed, SteveMax65, either like today or tomorrow, and it's accessible. You just go onto Metro Imaging's live feed at 11 a.m. on a Friday, and we talk for 45 minutes, an hour if I keep rambling, about a topic. This week, it's about fear and about failure. And so,
which is just a really important topic in the arts to be discussing, or in life in general. I'll be
tapping
that out.
So you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about other people, and I think it's a fantastic way to engage with others. And I really enjoy the process.
Speaking of meaningful engagements, this has been wonderful. Thank you, Steve and Tim and Neve, for sharing your experience and knowledge with us. It's been a delightful afternoon spent. So thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you very much. And thank you, Tim. Thank you, Neve.
Here at Black Box Projects, we believe in the transformative role art can play in both our daily lives and within the context of medical treatment and mental health. Art has the potential to change lives. It brightens our spirits. It soothes us. It challenges us and fulfills us. In these uncertain times, the livelihood of artists, art world professionals, arts charities, and galleries are all at risk. And sadly, a significant number of them will not survive the current COVID lockdown and global economic recession to follow. Beyond the panic buying of loo roll and long life groceries, worrying about our loved ones and our communities, there is still great art. We encourage you, yes, you, to support an artist you love through art purchases. Support your favorite gallery through acquisitions. Donate to that arts charity. This pandemic will end. The economy will eventually recover, and life will go on. Let's make sure our favorite galleries, artists, and art institutions are still standing on the other side of this. Support artists, support galleries, support the arts. To this end, Black Box Projects has launched a new initiative called Art for Good. We will highlight one photograph from our gallery collection each day, and choosing to buck art world trend, we are listing that photograph with full details, including price. We hope that we can break the elusive veil that is drawn over the art world that hinders transparency and highlight works that are both accessible in price and those that might be more aspirational. 10% of all sales at Black Box Projects, including the Art for Good initiative, are pledged to hospital rooms. We truly, truly believe that hospital rooms is a life-changing, important charity that needs our support, that needs to continue and be allowed to grow through the COVID crisis and beyond. Hospital Rooms does rely on private donations to fund their essential work. So without continued support, they do face a critical threat to the charity's survival. By supporting Black Box Projects through art purchases, you're not only supporting artists, you're supporting those arts vendors that we utilize, but you're also giving to hospital rooms. Art for Good. Support artists, support galleries, support the arts. We are all in this together. Thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to welcoming you to our next podcast. This has been In Conversation with Black Box Projects, and I'm Kathleen Fogg-Stavis.